Amen. And all of God's people said amen,
amen.
Because our God is real.
Yes.
He's a real God. He's a mighty good God.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that God is on our side this morning. Amen. We appreciate our song leaders, Brother Herbie, and also Brother Romaine. And we give thanks to all the other brothers who have participated in the worship service thus far. We thank you. Also thank you for lending your voices in such harmony to lift up the word of God through song. Amen.
Amen.
Song leader can do a great job, but it also helps when folks sing along.
Amen,
because you can't lead somebody if they follow, right? So you did a great job in doing that. If you can find your way to the 2 Peter book, we'll get started. 2 Peter. I want to make one more installment, and this may be my last one, but I wanted to kind of finish up this series. I don't know, I might still talk about brotherly kindness, though. If y'all got time for it, not today, but I won't do it today. I'm going to deal with godliness today, and but maybe in the next installment we'll be brotherly kind. I'd hate to leave that one out. Amen. And perhaps I'll try and tie both of those, brotherly kindness and charity, together, since they do go together. The Bible says, beginning at verse number 5 of chapter 1, "And besides this, giving all diligence, all intention, all of our energy, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, you need to supplement some temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity." Remember what we talked about earlier in these lessons was that you need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But to do that, you needed to develop these 8 graces in conjunction with one another. And you need to do it urgently, diligently, purposefully. Without a doubt, you need to be about this business. We gradually proceeded to talk to you about this being Christ-like character. Are you still there? And I gave you some reasons why you need to grow according to Peter. Peter says that grace and peace. Anybody need grace? Anybody need peace? He said grace and peace will multiply. And you, if you know anything about the Bible and biblically scholarly, you know that the Bible talks about adding in some places. But then it begins to talk about multiplying. And multiplying normally depicts the fact that God is trying to do something great in your life and overwhelmingly blessing you with more than you need or deserve. Are y'all still out there? So he said grace will multiply and peace will multiply because you will get some things straight in your own life that will cause other folk lives to be less difficult with you. Are y'all still out there? So grace is going to come in. Peace is going to come in. And then he says, all things that pertain to life and godliness are provided through this knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not saying that you can go in the Bible and find a specific scripture that will fit everything that's going on in your life. But he says all the stuff that you need to know, as I shared with you this morning, you have learned from the Bible already. He says you won't have spiritual myopia. You won't just be looking at the right now. You'll be able to see things a little bit farther down the line. You know, one of the things that I learned a long time ago when I started driving, I think I started driving at like 13 or 14, but when I went to the driving class in school, they taught me to do defensive driving. Are y'all still out there? And one of the things about defensive driving is that I was taught, and I just reflected on it a couple of days ago as I was driving in some traffic that was stop and go. I realized that I could no longer just look at the car that was immediately in front of me. Y'all still there? Because if I just watch the car that's right in front of me, I might be in trouble because I don't know what's going on a little bit farther above and beyond the car in front of me. Are y'all still out there? But if I was myopic and just looking and with nearsighted eyes, I would only concentrate on the brake lights of the car right in front of me. But when I look a little farther ahead, I can anticipate that the person in front of me, are y'all still with me, is going to stop. And so myopia will cause you only to see the stuff that's right in front of you and not look farther down the road to see that there's something else coming that's going to be a whole lot better than what you're going through right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. It's kind of like you're looking at tomorrow beyond today. I know you may go to the refrigerator and there's no food in there, but you know that your paycheck is coming. Amen. And even though it's already spent before it gets here, because you look down the road, y'all know what I'm talking about, you will still say that there's going to be some food in this refrigerator on tomorrow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Peter is trying to get these folk to see. He says, I want you to be able to look beyond just the now and now and look beyond that and see what's coming in the future. And he says, then you won't have amnesia. Are y'all still out there? You know, because some of us just forget. We forget that the Lord woke us up this morning. We forget that God got us out of bed yesterday. We forget that last week things was rough, but God brought us through it anyway. We forget that we were walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and now we've come past evil. And God has taken us beyond where we were and given us something better to look forward to. We get forgetful. Amen, if you can. And we sometimes want to do like Miss Job said, curse God and die. Because we forget. But thank God that Job had sense enough to tell Miss Job, I remember where I used to be, and God has brought me to where I am now, and I believe my God is going to take me beyond where I am because I hadn't forgotten what God has done for me. Somebody ought to say amen. You got to remember that you were down on your back laying in the hospital and they had given you a bad prognosis and they told you that tomorrow might not come, and God got you back up on your feet, stood you up, brought you back to church. You're walking. You got your good sense. You may not be walking as well as you used. You wobble a little bit, but God brought you back. And we forget that sometimes. So Peter says, if you get these graces in your life, if you get these things that I'm talking about in your life, you will not only look at the right now, you will not only look at the right now, but you'll look back and see what God has done for you and see where God is going to bring you. I know, Ferguson Heights, you've gone through some things, but God has brought you a long way. Brother got up the other day, I wasn't in the meeting and somebody said Berkeley Heights, and everybody made a correction saying it's Ferguson Heights, but he was just thinking back. Nothing wrong with that. Remember where you came from. Somebody ought to say amen. Mama used to always tell us that, don't forget where you came from when you get to where you're going. Amen, if you can. We will never, Peter said, stumble if we abound in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not saying that you're not going to get tripped up sometime. He's not even saying that you will never fall. But what he's simply saying is, when you fall down, you will be able to get back up. Because there's no stumbling for the Christian that can't get them back up. God can lift you up. Peter says in another passage, he says that God will stand you up. Then God will stabilize you after he stand you up. And then Peter says God will also sustain you after he has stood you up and stabilized you. He will sustain you so you can keep on walking. Somebody say amen if you can. He says, you're not going to be that kind of person who's going to always be stumbling over little things. You're not going to be the kind of person who's always majoring on the minors and forgetting about minoring on the majors. So somebody ought to say, amen. You're majoring on the minors and forgetting about the major stuff that's going on in your life. Somebody need to help me this morning. I might have messed that one up, but you know what I'm talking about. See, you won't be stumbling like that. And then he says, when this life is all over, if you get this stuff in your life, when this life is all over, you will have an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of God. Somebody need to help me this morning. He said, you need to get this life. You need to get these characters in your, Christ-like character in your life, because if you're like this, folks, we would get a whole lot. We get along a whole lot. A whole lot. I'm just going to leave it there. I ain't going to say better. We get along a whole lot. So he starts off by saying, you need to get some faith. There's nothing wrong with faith. Get faith. Faith is good. I'm glad you got faith, but you can't just stay in faith. You got to move in and start living excellently. Start living like you got some faith. You see, you can't just say you got faith. Folk always talk about the Lord going to provide, and then we talk about faith, but God said you got to do some excellent stuff in your life. You got to start living like you got faith. And then he said, in order to do that, you got to learn how to live like you got faith. Yeah. Somebody need to help me this morning. And he says, not only that, but folk, when you do it, you got to persevere. And I told you last week, persevering is not the same as long-suffering. Long-suffering says that you're dealing with people. And some of us know that we don't like to deal with people. Because people die off and long-suffering end when folk die. Somebody need to help me. Unless you the person that folk long suffering with. Y'all get that one in a minute. Perseverance is bearing up under it. You know, I think the picture that we're talking about with perseverance is that Jesus said, take up your cross sometime. He said, bear it and follow me. So what he's saying is, perseverance is bearing up under your cross. Taking your cross and following me. Where did Jesus go? He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He was resurrected on the third day, and he went back to heaven. So he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Doesn't matter how heavy your burden is. He said, you need to drag that thing along with you, because you're trying to make it from here to eternity. And if I'm going to get there, I need to know that, as Paul said, that we know that we are going to make it into heaven through much tribulation. He says it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be all milk and honey every day. Amen. Sometimes you're going to get some sour grapes. But while we are moving along this journey, we're continuing to exercise our faith, exercise excellence and virtue, and we're continuing to learn, and we are bearing up under it. But then he says, you need to have some godliness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, the connection between perseverance and godliness, it's a logical thing. He said, after you persevere, you know, you can't just go through stuff and not be godly, because when we, as a lot of folks say, put down our Christianity. I'm talking to this side because y'all looking at me. When folks talk about putting down their Christianity, they're not persevering no more. It's all over. I don't care what you say, because you don't know where I came from. Yes, I do know where you came from. You came from the gates of hell just like I did. You hadn't been through anything that nobody else has been through. Just because you had a rough time doesn't mean that I didn't have a rough time. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, but y'all had money. No, we didn't have no money. We had a little bit. Amen. Our shoes wore out just like your shoes wore out. Somebody needs to say amen if you can. We shopped at Goodwill just like you shopped at Goodwill. Amen if you can. See, perseverance is connected with this godliness. And you know, the definition of godliness is this. The word in Greek is eusebia. And it literally means to worship well. Are y'all still out there? There's nothing wrong with having good worship service. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with having good singing in worship service. Nothing wrong with having good preaching in worship service. But that's not the kind of worship we're talking about here. It's talking about the fact that you on an individual basis have a relationship with God where you give God the glory for everything in your life. And you don't just do it sometime. You do it all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It means to be devout. It means to be devoted. Vine describes it like this. He says that it's the piety which is characterized by Godward attitude, and that which is pleasing unto God. You do that which is pleasing unto God. You know, sometimes we think that I got to like you. Amen. Amen. And I think that by a byproduct of love is like. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. I'm not saying that you got to put up with all my behavior, but if your love is going to be unconditional, I'll get to that in brotherly kindness, but I might as well drop it in here right now. Amen. If your love is going to be unconditional, you know, you're just going to have to bear with me sometime. I may be that burden that's riding on your back. Somebody needs to say amen. So Vine says it's that piety which is characterized by a Godward attitude, and it's that which is doing the things that are well-pleasing unto God. But in order to do that, you got to know what is pleasing to God. Somebody need to help me this morning. You know, it's character and conduct determined by the principles of love and fear for God in your heart. If you know, it's not that you're trembling before God, but at least you have a reverence for God that says that I'm going to try and understand what God wants me to do and how God wants me to treat other folk and how God wants me to live my life. Somebody need to help me this morning. You know, godliness, godly life, godly living. Godliness means to live with reverence and awe of God. Some of us, you know, I've often had folk to come up to me and say, you know, if I was back there during that time, I would have lived a whole lot better, Brother Lloyd, because God was striking folk down. My kids would have been a whole lot better because we'd have just stoned them to death. Hello? You wouldn't have had no kids because you'd been dead. Because you wouldn't have made it that far. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. You see, we get these things out here, my kids would be dead. No, you would have been dead. Mom and dad would have drug you out before the tribunal and they would have stoned you to death at the gate and left you there, and you would have never had any kids. Somebody needs to say amen. If you were living then like you living now. Yeah. Yeah. Are y'all still with me? Yeah. Y'all looking at me mighty straight. You know, it means to live seeking to be like God. And to seek to possess the very character, the very nature, the very behavior of God. That's what godliness is about. I want to be just like my daddy. Somebody needs to say amen. You know, you look around and you see fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, and you can tell that those children belong to their parents. Somebody needs to say amen. You can tell. Not only because they're baby, but sometimes the way they look. And then their behavior. You know, the folk that call sometimes and they talk to Gary when his voice got deeper, and they said they just carried on the conversation, and then he'll come back and say, "I think you want my daddy." Yeah. But they'll be going right on with the conversation. They're like, "No, oh, I thought you were Brother Lodge, okay." And he'd be like, "No, I think this one, y'all need, I'm past this one off." But the point is that to be godly, man, you got to look like your father. You ought to have those traits like your father. And when folks see you, they ought to know whose family you are part of. Somebody need to help me this morning. Say that, you know, this. Godliness has a contrast. There's a contrast, and it's hypocrisy. There's a pious conduct or a godly conduct, and hypocrisy is on the other side. Are y'all still there? Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, haughty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And I know what we usually say, that's the denomination church you're talking about. Amen. That's the passage that we used. But Paul wasn't talking about them. He was talking about the church. And he says, from within the body of Christ, there are going to be people who are going to turn to this way. Perilous times are coming. And I tell you that those times have been ever since Paul's day and are still happening right now. There are folk who are doing these things, who are not living godly, that are members of the body of Christ and are not living godly because they are trying to do their own thing. Amen, if you can. He says that's hypocrisy. You know, some of us, you know, we discussing some things, and I looked at the survey, and on the survey that was passed out to the church, one of the things is that was asked is that, about casual dress. And your mindset may be that, yeah, we got to dress up to come to church. We need to put on a suit. Now, I got to agree with you. I mean, I've been doing it for so daggone long. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable without a suit. But you know, the suit don't make the man. The man makes the suit. I remember a farmer who had two pigs. And one of the pigs he decided to leave out in the hog pen, but the other pig he tried to bring into the house, and he took that pig and shined up that pig's hoofs and took that pig and cleaned that pig up and made that pig spray some perfume on that pig and tied a red ribbon around that pig's neck and tried to make that pig stay in the house. And one day he came home, that pig had got out, and that pig had run right back into that mud. Because the pig was a pig at heart. Dressing folk up ain't gonna make them change their heart. Doesn't matter what you wear. Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't make no pig no pet. Any more than you can make an ungodly man or woman godly if they don't want to be. It has to come from the heart. It's not the clothes. It's not that which goes into the man or the woman that defiles them, but it's what comes out. Are y'all still out there? You know, hypocrisy. Godliness is in contrast with hypocrisy. Because you've got to know that if you are play acting. That's why you keep saying stuff like they don't know where I come from. Because you still down on where you came from. Whatever street you grew up on. I grew up in the city. So what? You don't live there anymore. Even if your house still there, when you came to the Lord, you moved out. You need to put up a sign saying there are no vacancies here because the Lord resides in my heart. But if you allow yourself to keep going back to the street that you came from, seeking to find the same folk that you used to run with. Amen. And getting upset because you can't find your old friends no more. Then perhaps you still living a hypocritical life. Perhaps you're not living godly the way God wants you to live godly. Amen, if you can. Jesus warns us that in Matthew, he says, you know, true godliness is characterized by a Godward attitude, seeking to be seen and approved by God, not man. You know, over in Matthew 6, 1 through 18, he gives us that prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. But there's something he says before that. He tells them that, you know, if you have an ought with your brother or your sister, he says, you know, before you come into the church talking about praying, you need to leave your gift at the altar. Leave your gift at the altar. Say it if you can. Leave your gift at the altar. Go out and find that person. In order to have true, authentic worship, you can't be dragging all that baggage up in here. You got to go back, get right, then come back. So leave your money. Amen. Some of y'all said, I'm taking my money back. Well, he said, leave your money. Go get your life right. Come back. And sing praise unto the Lord. The reason why you can't sing praise when the song leader's singing praise, because you are all tied up inside. Because you got too much stuff going on with folk that you never know. I am not telling nobody not to come to church. He said, come to church. Bring your money. But when you leave here, you need to go get straight with some folk. Child, we had church this morning. Yeah, we did. But when you go home, how you going to live? Are you going to live the way you worshiped? Or are you going to live worse? You see, you just don't come here and sing praise unto the Lord, talking about how much you love the Lord, and I can't stand them folk on my job. Folk on my job get on my nerve too. And I'll be honest, there's some that I would rather not work with. But you know what? I think God put me there for some reason. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He didn't put me there because he wanted me to be there because everybody that was going to be around me was going to be my friend. Living godly. Because the Bible tells me that if I want to live a godly life, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners,
yes, sir.
Christ died for us.
Yes,
you see, and we were not friends with God. Paul said that we were alienated away from the commonwealth of Israel because we were enemies with God.
Yeah.
And while we were God's enemies, God sent his son to make friends with us so that we could be on his side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't poke on your job that you hate and hate you. You're the only God that they're going to see. You are the eyes. You are the hands. You are the feet. You are the heart of God. And so when you reach out, you need to know. That's what we're talking about. Friendship evangelism. You can't be just bringing your friends. You got to bring your enemies so that they will be. Friendship ain't just about you getting folk who already like you and like you, who like you and are like you.
Yeah.
It's about people you don't like and don't like you, who you want to be like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I missed the point. I'm gonna close. I gotta quit. Is that all right? I would go further, but I think God just told me to stop right there. I got more, but it ain't worth it.
The whole lesson is just this. If you want to be like God, you got to live like God.
You got to do what God did.
Yeah.
And what God did was God looked down on folk who were not his friends and turned them into every last one of y'all are here because, not because you love the Lord.
You're here because God decided that you were worth it. That you were somebody worth coming after. Somebody needs to say amen. You know, the whole story about the Good Samaritan, the folk who were supposed to be all, they were all pious and stuff. There are a couple of folk in that story, and there's the Jew and the, I can't remember them all, but, you know, it was a couple of them. Two of them, the priest, the Jew, and the Samaritan, the Levite. Hey, thank you, brother. Hey, man, I'm getting old. Two of them passed by, seen the man all beat up, bruised up, and they wouldn't pick him up. Passed him on by, went on about their business because they didn't want to defile themselves. I'm on my way to church. I can't be touching no dead bodies because if I touch the dead body, then I got to go clean myself up and then they ain't going to let me in the church because the folk over the church, they don't like folk who ain't clean. So I can't mess with this guy because if I mess with this guy, then I got to get myself clean because if I go to the church where all them folk at who are clean, they ain't going to let me in. So the reason why I'm not going to mess with him is because I'm scared of what the other folk at the church going to say. Because the church folk, you know the church folk don't like, you got to be clean when you come to church. From the head to the toe. You can't have no sin when you come to church. Because if you got sin when you come here, then you ain't in the right place because only the good folk here. Amen. Then somebody who ain't really supposed to be nobody come along and say, oh, there's somebody who needs some help. I think I'll help him. But all the good folk, the good church folk,
who've been taught all their life from a child around the table. You know, they used to put that stuff on their head. And they said, when you sit down at your table, you teach your kids. When you get up in the morning, you teach your kids. When you go to bed at night, you teach your kids. You tell them how God loved them, what God did for them, how God brought them through Egypt, out of Egypt, and brought them through the Jordan and brought them through the Red Sea. And tell them what God has done to them. Help them not to forget what God has done for them. But he said, when you see a stranger at the gates, let him in, because those are the people who need to be saved, because they need what God has to give to them, just like you need what God has to give to you. But this man should not have been with that mindset, he said, but this man needs help, and I think that I need to help him. Took him to the inn, put all in, and cleaned him up and brought him in. And then he said, put it on my tab if there's anything above that, because I think that this is another human being whose life is worth saving. So if you're going to talk about friendship evangelism, the first thing you need to know is that everybody that you're trying to reach ain't going to be your friend, nor your family. It's going to be them foul folk. The folk you don't get along with. That same agonizing, disgusting, irritating. Y'all know it? Or her? You know what I'm talking about? That neighbor that's always leaving garbage in your yard. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Play their music too loud. Those are the folk that he's talking about. He says, you got to reach out to them as well, because if you're going to live this godly life, it's not just about you bearing up under your sin. Remember that there are other folk bearing up under their stuff too, and they need some relief also. He says, grace and peace will multiply. Now, there's two ways you can look at this grace and this peace that's going to multiply, is that you can look at the grace and peace being that you won't get all the grace. But on the other hand, you may be the dispenser to carry the grace, the vehicle which will employ the grace. Grace may be abounding in your life and running through you into other folk lives. Are y'all out there with me? The peace may be that you are the vessel of the peace. You are the one who will facilitate the peace. You will be the one who will carry what's needed to the people who need it. Are y'all still there? That's being godly, because that's what God did for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God made peace with us by sending his son to die in an unpeaceful way. He took the brunt of what we deserve. He took the bruises that we deserve. He took the beating that we deserve. Because God wanted to make peace with us. And now that God has made peace with us, we ought to allow other folk to make peace with God. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about friendship evangelism. We're talking about making friends with our world and our community and the folk around us, and not just the folk that are like us and that like us. Can I say amen?
Amen.
I'm done. If you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, the good news is that you can become a child of God. The good news is that God did send his son to die upon the cross that we might have everlasting life. The good news is that God can reach out to anybody. God is willing to reach out to anybody. God has reached out to anybody. And he's calling you this morning. If you want to come, if you are a child of God and you have strayed away and you are not feeling that you can glorify God and worship the way you're supposed to, then you need to come also. Amen? You can come right now as we sing the song of invitation.
What?